Hello, it's Ryan here with the Nerd Kingdom podcast. I'm here with Nathan.
Hi.
And we're going to talk today about microtransactions in the gaming industry. Now, it's been a hot-button topic for the last few years, looking at things like EA's Battlefront 2, Fortnite, various other games, including microtransactions. What's your stance on it, Nathan?
Well, I think they're bad in the AAA game industry because a lot of the time these microtransactions are very much intrusive to the gameplay in that... With things like Battlefront 2 before they rebalanced it, with things like FIFA Ultimate Team, these microtransactions give players who spend the money an unfair advantage over those who perhaps can't. So it makes the competitive aspect of those games kind of out of whack because those who spend the money are always going to be doing better because they'll have the better equipment. In the cases of Battlefront 2, they'll have the better players. In the case of FIFA Ultimate Team, it just makes the competitive element just not quite as fun if someone can just buy their way to success.
It makes it less fun for the other players because essentially as soon as you implement a pay-to-win scheme, you're essentially ranking players not only on their ability to play the game, but they're also their ability to spend money, which in a game that already costs £60 to £50 is a lot to ask of players.
Yeah, exactly. But there are some games which have done it a bit better. So games like Overwatch and games like Fortnite implement these microtransactions, but they're only cosmetics. So they just change the appearance of your character. They make you have different skins. They don't give you any actual in-game benefits. They just make your character look different. And for some people, that's quite a cool additional thing. I still think it should be free. It used to be free in every game up until the last 5 years, but...
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when you used to buy a game, you were talking it would be £40 and that was all the game you'd ever get. Then eventually we started to get DLC, which initially was a fantastic idea, but we started to see that being manipulated for more monetary gain.
At least with the DLC, you could see, with things like reviews, you could see, like, okay, this DLC's not worth it. This, like, infamously with... The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, there was the horse armor DLC, which just was armor for your horse. And that was clearly not worth it, but Bethesda learned from that, and then when they released Fallout 3, implemented 5 absolutely fantastic DLC campaigns.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, players have the right to be angry when they've already been asked to pay so much, and then on top of it, you're having to pay for things that you would expect to be free. I mean, it's not like these... gaming companies are struggling to make money.
No, they're
making money hand over fist and still asking for more and more from the player base.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? They get this money, they get the profit, but if it's not more profit than last year, if they're not finding new ways to get money, then these companies aren't going to be happy. Even if their game sells 10 million copies and is a financial success, if they can't then get more money out and make more money the next year and the next year and the next year, then their shareholders are going to be disappointed, and that puts the companies on the ropes a bit.
I've always seen it as if you went to go to the cinema and went to watch a film, and you walked out, and then they offered you £5 to see the real ending, you would be miffed that you felt like you haven't experienced the full product.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what part of it is with gaming and the microtransactions.
Then again, if you look at it in the way that it's done well in DLC campaigns, it can be... It's £5, and it's not anything like... important, but it's an additional, it's a new story about this character who's been a side character, and do you want to learn more about this character? That's why it used to be that they just sold that stuff in novels or for films or in accompanying TV shorts, but for video games it's always been DLC campaigns. There are some things that are like where they have gone, no, the real ending's in the DLC, and that's not acceptable because you're not saving. If you've paid for a product, you expect the whole product.
Exactly. I mean, I think what gamers find the hardest is the fact that you've seen this massive shift over the last 5 to 7 years towards pushing these microtransactions so much, because although most people might not go near them, there's 2 to 3% of the player base that will spend so much money that it makes it entirely worthwhile for them to do it. And it's almost insidious. I mean, when you look at games like CSGO, they've essentially got what is gambling in their games.
Yeah.
you can sell the stuff that you get from the games for real-world money, and some of those items can go...
Unbelievable prices.
Exactly.
Unbelievable prices, yeah.
I remember reading an article a few months ago, and there was a gun on that game that sold for £47,000.
Yeah.
Which is an unbelievable amount of money.
Yeah, it's the average person's 2 years' wages. So.
Exactly. I mean, if you're doing that, and that's essentially, in my opinion, gambling. If you're spinning the dice to try and get something that's worth that kind of money, in any other context, that would be considered gambling.
I mean, a lot of European countries now consider microtransactions gambling if they're not for, if it's not clear what you're going to get at the start. So with things like Overwatch's loot boxes, where you pay a set amount and then you get a random assortment of items which you may or may not already have.
Yeah.
Then what, that is gambling.
I think for me as well, it's the fact that you don't learn the odds of what your chances are of being able to get. I used to play a lot of Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
Essentially, for anyone who doesn't know, there was a pack system in Ultimate Team, and that's how you got your players, your contracts to be able to keep them playing for your club, their fitness and all sorts of things. But the chance of you actually getting a player that you want or need that was going to be beneficial to you in your gameplay was very slim.
Unless you pay for the absolute top of the tier pack, which would be, I think it was like, it was in around a tenner.
There were some packs that came around Christmas time, and when Team of the Season were announced, they were about £20, which is an unbelievable amount of money to ask of somebody. And even then, there's no guarantee at all that you're going to get something that's worthwhile. I mean, when you're gambling, most times you get the back of scratch cards, you look at other forms of gambling, they've got the odds on the back.
If you enter the National Lottery, it will tell you very clearly you've got a 1 in 2 million chance of winning the jackpot, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It clearly states that on their website and on the ticket, exactly what your chances of winning are.
Yeah.
In China, with video games, they have to do that. That's a legal requirement for games that are sold in China.
Yeah.
And some games then, instead of just implementing it in China, just implement it worldwide, but a lot of them don't.
Well, if in the terms of FIFA, I mean, if you told people that your chances of packing Lionel Messi were 1 in a million, it's going to make you less inclined to buy one than if you see him on the front and like, oh, you know, maybe today.
Mm.
It's one of them, but I feel like the legislative arm of government is always slightly further behind these kind of issues, especially with new and emerging technologies, in terms of actually being able to regulate the industry. And if the gaming industry doesn't start to self-regulate itself, then we're going to be seeing governmental interference, which no one really wants.
Yeah, no one wants government interfering in any kind of art form.
Exactly.
No matter what weird things it's doing, it should be free. But this is up to the game industry itself to go, all right, what is acceptable? What is not? Where do we draw the line? Is cosmetic only loot boxes fine if we also give them the odds of what they're going to get? Is that okay? That's not for me to say, but that's something the game industry has to answer. Should they draw the line at, you can only implement it if it's a free-to-play game as a way of monetizing that game and actually making money off it? Is that then okay, even if it affects the gameplay?
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, no one wants to see it regulated, but we're heading towards that state because we're starting to hear more and more stories about vulnerable people who may have a predisposition to gambling and games of chance and things like that being massively affected, and their families.
Games, yeah.
Exactly.
And in addition to that, if, say, a parent has a Xbox Live or PlayStation Network account set up and it's got their card on it and their kid is playing FIFA, what's to stop that kid just buying absolute tons of packs? It's happened before. There are documented cases of things like that happening. So
all the time. It's sad, but it's one of those things as well. You brought up a very interesting point with games that are free to play being funded by microtransactions. Now, I see that as a slightly different beast.
Yeah, I agree.
Compared to paying £60 for a game and then being asked to pay
an extra
£10 for content that you would assume would be free, there's a very big difference there to a game that you get free off the bat and then they make their money from optional in-game transactions. There's a very big difference there, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, those can still be abused and taken advantage of, but generally,
yeah, I think most people will be fine with that.
Yeah.
I guess the other big problem with microtransactions is that a lot of games, even the games that have sold for the big budgets now, are built around making more money out of microtransactions, which leads to games like Anthem, which has just come out, which is blatantly unfinished and lacking in content and lacking in anything interesting to do in the game, but they're just pushing all of these microtransactions at you, try and get you to spend the money to get the advantages, to get the cool new loot, to get all these extra things that might make the game more enjoyable. But in doing that, they've stripped away what makes the game actually enjoyable to play, because they've built it too much around trying to squeeze more money out of people. Games like Destiny in the past have been accused of this as well.
Yeah, that was one of the major ones, wasn't it, when Destiny 2 came out? I think eventually the game industry is going to have to confront this. It's coming to the point now where, like you said before, countries like Belgium and the Netherlands are starting to get involved in this whole aspect and of gaming.
The state of Hawaii as well.
Oh, really?
Implementing it, yeah. Because obviously in the US it's on a state-by-state basis.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, all of us who play games want to see what's best for the industry and what's ultimately best for the gamer. And I feel like that has been forgotten in recent times.
Yeah.
It's not what comes first. It's not what comes first for the gamer. It's what makes the most money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which are most of the time, two entirely different entities. But I think we'll leave it there for today. Thank you for that, Nathan.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. I'll see you next time on the Nerd Kingdom podcast. Thank you.